السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد اللہ الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدن عبدہ ورسولہ. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. دس از لیکچر نمبر 5 آن دی بیسکلی آن دا سبجیکٹ آف توحید ورسز ٹرینیٹی. We have gone through several ideas about Tawheed, about Trinity. We have talked about what is Tawheed. We've talked about what the Islamic position is when it comes to explaining the Tawheed. What does it mean? What are the arguments? What is the reasoning behind the Tawheed? Why do we believe in the Tawheed? We talked about all of those things. And in my previous lecture, we talked about the concept of Trinity. Right? What is the Trinity? And just to give you an idea, a brief idea of what is the Trinity, Trinity is basically an attempt to divide God into more than one part. Yes, they would say, our Christian friends, respectfully, they would say that God is one, but when they would define God, they would say he's three in one. So they would say God is three persons in one being. So every human being is one being and one person. God is one being and three persons. What does that mean? I don't know. You can ask them. So basically, what they say is God the Father is God, God the Son is God, God the Holy Spirit is God, and these are three different distinct persons in the Godhead. Right? These are not three gods, they're three persons in the Godhead. God the Father is not the God the Son. God the Son is not God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is not God the Father. They're three distinct persons. Frankly speaking, from a Muslim perspective, we see that as a play with semantics. That's a play on words. They talk about three gods in all practicality, because God the Son is independently God. Jesus Christ is God, just like God the Father. There's no difference, yet they're one. So I think from our perspective, from a Muslim perspective, when you say they're one, you're just not being honest. Honestly speaking, this is a frank, this lecture, if a Christian is listening to this, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just trying to be honest with my feelings here, that when you describe God, this is how you describe him, or this is how your scholars or pastors would describe him. And these are three gods, practically. This is not one God. You can't talk about three independent beings and say they're one being. That's just crazy. I think I mentioned this in my previous lecture as well. Something that Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Rabe, Hazrat Mirza Tahir Ahmed, he has written a book, Christianity, A Journey from Facts to Fiction. In that book, he talks about the philosophical aspects of Trinity and oneness and Tawheed and scientific aspects of it as well. He says, you can ask me to believe in something mysterious, right? Because usually when we say this to the Christians, they would say, this is a mystery. Well, he said, you can say something as a mystery and I will accept it. But you can't tell me to accept a paradox, accept a self-contradictory belief, right? And we came across, as I gave the example last time also, that you can say God is mysterious, fine, God is mysterious, Muslims would also say that. But if you tell me, for instance, that, take an iPhone, there's an iPhone right now in front of me, this iPhone is mysterious, it can do crazy things. Well, I don't know how it works. So yeah, I mean, for me, it is mysterious, very complex. I'll probably have to take several years of courses in university to understand how it works. Yes, it's mysterious to me. But if you say, well, this iPhone is also a fish that can swim in water, that's a contradictory, self-contradictory statement. And that you cannot expect me to just take it as it is. Right, so there's a subtle difference here. I hope you understand, between saying something is mysterious and saying something which is self-contradictory, right? And we left off around there, and it actually brings us to the first argument. Going back to the textbook for this lecture, it's actually an Urdu book. I've mentioned it a few times. It's a thesis written by Maulana Ataul Mujib Rashid Sahib. It's entitled Qasr-e Salib. For the English audience, you can just listen to my lecture and try to get an idea of what he's writing in this book. So under Thaslis, under Trinity, he gives the first argument based on the books of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, the first argument against the Trinity or in refutation of the Trinity is that this is a belief that is beyond reason. It is a belief that no one can understand. You know, that itself is a problem, because why would God want me to believe in something so important for my salvation, and yet it is something that I cannot even, you know, doesn't fit anywhere in my understanding of the world, right? So this is a strange belief. I mean, that is one of the main arguments the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has made. For instance, he says, afsos, in Urdu he says, afsos ke isaiyon ko dusron ke liye to falsafa yaad aa jata hai, magar apne ghar ki na maakool baaton se falsafe ko chhune bhi nahi dete. You know, it is a pity, he says, it is a pity that Christians, when they approach others, they talk about philosophy. But when it comes to their own beliefs, they forget about reasoning and philosophy and logic, right? They forget about this. And he says, for instance, in another place, he says, Taslis ka akida bhi ek ajeeb akida hai. Kya kisi ne suna hai? Ke mustakil taur par aur kamil taur par teen bhi ho aur ek bhi ho. Aur ek bhi kamil khuda aur teen bhi kamil khuda ho. Isai mazhab bhi ajeeb mazhab hai. Ke har ek baat mein galati aur har ek amr mein lagzish hai. So he says that the concept, the belief of the Trinity is such a strange belief. Has anyone heard that independently and perfectly there are three beings and they're also one at the same time? And each one is a perfect God, and the three are also together a perfect God. The Christian religion, he says, is a strange religion that in everything, in every doctrine, it makes mistakes and says things that deviate from the right path, right? And so the bottom line is that this is a strange belief, right? That is the first refutation of the Trinity that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has provided us, that this is, or has given, and that is that. This is beyond reasoning. This is complex. This is something not just complex, but something that doesn't make sense. Simply, it does not make sense. Why would I believe in something that does not make sense? 1 + 1 + 1 is equal to 3, right? And there's a book I referred to in my previous lecture. The same scholars, Michael Lefebvre, if I've said his name correctly, is the author of, and Philip Ryken, there are two authors of that book. It is, I think, entitled The Triune God or something like that. And they say that, yeah, we are not saying 1 + 1 + 1 is equal to 1, right? We're not saying that. And then they go on and say that if it was G plus G plus G is equal to G, that would be wrong. We're not saying that. What we are saying is P plus P plus P is equal to G. Well, are you really? When you really dig down into their beliefs, that's not what they're saying, right? If it was, 0.25 plus 0.25 plus 0.5, that's 1, understandable. But what they're really saying is 1 plus 1 plus 1 is equal to 1. And that's because they say God the Father is fully and completely God. God the Son is fully and completely God. God the Holy Spirit is fully and completely God. They're not saying that one of them is lesser than is lesser, right? If there were three parts of one God, that would have made sense. But what they are really saying is that each one of them is independently a perfect being, co-equal, co-eternal. Partners in the Godhead, right? And that's what it, you know, I mean, I can see some of my students sitting here, that their faces are such that they can't understand what this means. And frankly speaking, I mentioned this in my previous lecture as well, that I've consulted a few books on the Trinity, and they're really, really strange things, some of them, what they say. And not only that, it gets really weirder. And I don't know whether even Christians realize some of these things, because what they say after saying this is that 2,000 years ago, about 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ came, so God changed at that time. They say God changed at that time. How did he change? Well, he has now taken on human nature. So Jesus Christ is now has a body. And after he died and he was resurrected with that body now stays with him for eternity. That's another strange thing. Why would God do that? Just take a body and then one part of him has that body, which is God the Son, right? So in practical terms, when Christians are referring to their God or to Jesus Christ, God the Son, they're actually referring to that body, which he has adopted somehow, right? I think the term for it, I'll check this, is hypostatic union. They call it the hypostatic union, right? It's a fancy term for God taking on. But the problem is that in the Old Testament, I think it's in Malachi, where God is very clear. God says, God does not change. God does not change. And here we are, when Jesus Christ comes, now God has a human nature as well. And so that gets a little weirder when we get into that. Just want to drop one more argument of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, before I end this lecture. And that's the second argument for the Trinity that Ataul Mujib Rashid Sahib has put here based on the books of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. And this argument, we've already gone to it. That's why I don't need to talk much about it, is that this belief in the Trinity is against nature. Right, and we talked about it, I think, in the first or second lecture, where we're talking about the Tawheed, and how Tawheed is according to human nature, not just human nature, but nature in general. You know, we talked about these two arguments, and that itself is an argument that refutes the Trinity. Right, you look at the drop of water, you look at the shape of the planets, you look at all these things that God has created, Allah has created. They are all spherical, which represents oneness. They're not triune or triangular, right? And human nature, I mean, deep down, we are attuned with the oneness of God. Why? Well, we talked about it in an earlier lecture. You can ask these pastors, and they would say that if the message of the Trinity has not reached a person, if the message of the Trinity has not reached a person, then God will judge him based on Tawheed. The pastors say that, and there are references. The Promised Messiah has referenced some pastors who say that if somebody, for instance, never heard about Jesus Christ, never heard about the Trinity, how will God judge him? Well, God will judge him based on the concept of one God. Why? Because human nature is attuned with that concept. Remember that Sahabi from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to love to recite Surah Ikhlas, and he would say, "I want to recite it every time, every rakat." Why? Because it's such a beautiful surah that just links us with our nature, which testifies to the oneness of God. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Say he is Allah the one, Allah the independent abyssar of all. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. So this is where I'm going to stop. It's already a long lecture. This is the second argument. And inshallah, next time we will move on to the third argument that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has given in refutation of the Trinity. Jazakumullahu ta'ala sanjada.